Joshua 6th chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Begin reading at verse number 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thy hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram horn before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horn, before the ark of the Lord, went on continually, and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they passed the city once, and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. Came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city about the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass on the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourself accursed. Then ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel accursed, and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold, the vessels of brass and iron, are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come unto the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the precious word of God. It is your word. Lord, it's the absolute authority for our lives, for the church, and thank you so much for it. And Father, tonight, once again, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom as I preach. And Father, I want to be a blessing to these people. The only way I know how to really do that is just preach the word of God to them. And I trust, Lord, you'll take the word of God, do with it as you see fit, for we know according to your word it will not come back void. Now thank you once again for what you've done already this day, and ask you, Lord, to continue the blessings as we have this service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've been studying through the book of Ephesians for quite some time, and we are just now coming to the very end of that. But we've spent quite a bit of time on Satan and his power, that we are faced with an enemy that is real. I've told you before, I think sometimes we do take him too light. But we are faced with a real enemy, and he has power. And there's only one power that can overcome him, and that's not ours. That's God's power. And it's the only way that he can be overcome. And so we know, if you understand the Bible, you know when you come to know Christ as Savior, if you're a saved person, if you're born again, you know there's only one way you was delivered from your sin. And that was through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And let me say to you, not only are you delivered in salvation because of his shed blood, you continue to be delivered from the power of Satan down through the rest of your life because of the shed blood of the Son of God. It all goes back to that. I've told you many times, according to the book of Hebrews, you can't even approach God Almighty except you go through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason we can do that is because of the shed blood of the Son of God. And so we know that when Israel came out of Egypt, you're familiar with that portion of Scripture. You've heard that preached. You've read it many times yourself. But you know that they was delivered out of the land of Egypt because of the blood that they put on the doorpost and on the mantle. And if the blood was not there, the oldest son did not survive. We know it was the blood that protected them. We know it was the blood in which they was delivered out of Egypt. And then, of course, they went from there across the Red Sea out into the wilderness area. Now, that's showing and talking about someone, all right, we just saved, and we go into the wilderness for a short time. But God never intended us to stay in the wilderness. He intended for us to go on, and he even did the Israelites. He intended for them very soon to cross that wilderness land and enter into the promised land. That's what God wanted. That was God's plan. Now, we know the story. They did not do that. They rebelled against God. They did not do that. And for 40 years, they spent in the wilderness. They were still God's people. But they missed the blessings of God upon their life because they remained in the wilderness. Sometimes we do that very same thing. Sometimes we're in the wilderness. We spend some time there knowing some victories, but also knowing many failures, many defeats in our Christian life. Again, God does not want that for us. He wants us to understand that there's great victory that we have in the Christian life through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because he's already won the victory for us. Amen. He's already done it for us. And we need to claim that victory. But anyway, we come to the Jordan River, and they crossed that Jordan River. God spread the waters apart. They went on dry land. And they got over on the other side, and it seems to be a very strange thing, but it's exactly what happened. Right immediately after they got over there, they was faced with Jericho. Here was Jericho, a city that was walled, encompassed about, and a powerful city. Immediately after they crossed Jericho, and let me say to you, they crossed Jordan, let me say to you, a lot of times in Christianity, we're not condemning these folk, but if you really look the Scripture up, you'll understand that crossing Jordan doesn't mean going on to heaven. Now, sometimes we refer to that and we say, well, he's crossed over Jordan, went on to heaven, but that's not what the Scripture's talking about. Scripture's talking about going over that Jordan into a Christian life that is a victorious Christian life. Living that victorious Christian life on the other side of Jordan. In other words, giving ourselves unto the Lord, crossing over that Jordan, and going into that promised land that God has for us. Now, there's coming a day we know that all of this is going to be behind. We're going to enter into that heaven. Thank God for that. We're going to spend an eternity with him. But many times when Christians themselves walk across that Jordan, in other words, they say, I'm going to give my life to God. I want him to have all of my life. Many times, the same thing happens to us that happened to Israel. They face a Jericho. Immediately, they face a Jericho. And let me say to you, and when young people came forward, and it was sweet to listen to the two young ladies that come back from camp and told of how they made their decision and they want to give their heart and life to the Lord. And let me say something to you. That is right and that is proper. And that's exactly what they ought to do. And I'm not saying this to scare them because they don't have to be fearful, but the Jericho is there to try to stop you from going on and being what God wants you to be. And it is going to be there. And don't be discouraged by that, because God has great plans for you. And God has the power to overtake that Jericho. But let me say to you, I'm just trying to say to you, don't be surprised when you get over Jordan that you face a Jericho. Because it's going to be there in your life. Sometimes we think that there's a state that we come to in our Christian life where we are free from the wiles of the devil. And folks, we're never free from them. We just need the power of God and the armor of God. You remember we've been talking about that. We need the armor of God to ward off those wiles of the devil. But there's never a time when the devil is not going to attack you, is not going to make it hard for you, not going to cause you to have to battle in your Christian life. There's never a time going to be like that. That's why he told us we needed the armor of God. Every single one of us, once saved, we need God's armor on to ward off the wiles of the devil. So many times, as I said, we come to that place in our Christian life and we've decided to do right. We've decided to go on. I mean, we're just gonna give it all to God. And all at once, a Jericho rises. And many times that Jericho stops us. Sometimes it may just be some personal weakness that we have in our life that God's got to deal with. It may be some character flaw that is there that God has to deal with. It may be some impossible situation in your family, in your home life, that you don't know what to do about. And it seems like that Jericho is so big and so powerful, and you face it and you don't know what to do about it. And sometimes it may be that God has spoken to you about full-time service. And all at once there's a Jericho in your life and you don't know what to do with it. You don't know how to get by with it and around it. So you don't know how to get over it. You just don't know what to do with it. And so you just simply remain where you are instead of facing that Jericho in faith as God would have us to do. We just simply stop. And we let the Jerichos of our life stop us and hinder us from going on. Now, I believe something. I believe that every individual person, every Christian, has a Jericho that they have to face. I believe churches have the Jericho that they have to face. Back some many years ago, 25 years ago, this is our 25th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This church was established and begun 25 years ago, and it had some Jerichos that it had to face. Because of those Jerichos and because they fought them by faith, because of that, we see now a strong, vibrant church here today. Many, many years ago, there was decisions made on what kind of a church this church was going to be. And those decisions had to be kept. And down through the years, they've had to been solid decisions and said, we're not going to get away from this. This is going to be it. And so because of that, there's some Jerichos that we have to face. What I want to do tonight is take the story that we just read you from the scripture and look at it and see what God says about this Jericho. First of all, when they came across Jordan River and they looked and they saw this great city, this walled city, for them to attack and to take that Jericho was what I call an impossible task. It was something they could not do. It was a walled city. Back in those days, most of the times, and you got to remember something, they did not have bombs as we had. They did not have artillery shells that could be sent into that city and bomb that city out. They did not have those kind of things. Usually in those days, a walled city, as strong as Jericho was, the only way they could defeat it was surround it and starve it to death. That's the way most of the time they did. They surrounded it, kept people from going in, kept people from coming out, and they just waited it out and absolutely just starved them to death, and that's the way they captured the city. To assault that city on their own would have been suicidal. They would have been killed. There would have been no way they could have done it because this city was a strong, powerful city. Now, I want to ask you a question as you see the story here in the Bible. They was to march around this city. Let me ask you a question. Can the sound of marching feet bring down the wall of Jericho? Can the loudest blast of a trumpet cause it to fall? Can the shout of all the people shake the foundation of that city? Now, they had to do those things because God told them to. But it was not the marching feet, it was not the blowing trumpet, it was not the shout of the people that brought that Jericho wall down. It was God Almighty that brought it down. And what they needed to do is follow through in faith and do exactly what God said to do. I believe this Jericho is a picture of the stronghold of Satan and his kingdom in this world. I believe he's showing us when you get over there, Jordan, and you're going to face Jordan, you're going to face the promised land, you're going to get the blessings of God upon your life. There's a Jericho there, and old Satan is there to defeat you and stand against you. And let me say to you some things about his kingdom. His kingdom is a strong kingdom. He wants you to believe that it's just a myth. He wants you to not take him serious. He wants you to go on day by day and just not realizing that he's around too much and he's causing all kind of havoc in the Christian world and in the churches of America. He doesn't want you to believe, but let me say to you, he has a strong kingdom. That's why you and I need the armor of God in our life. You must have it. I must have the armor of God. That's why he told us in Ephesians 6, you must have on, put on the whole armor of God, or you won't be able to stand. Put on the armor of God, and then you will stand. Having done all to stand, stand. Amen. So his kingdom is a strong kingdom. Not only that, his kingdom traps those that are within, traps them and keeps them there. Look at verse number 1. And Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Let me say to you, Satan's kingdom is a powerful kingdom that traps people in that kingdom. If you'll just have a little bit of understanding as you talk to people nowadays, you'll understand what I'm talking about. You hear, you talk to them, you try to even get over the truth of the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's like they're in another world, and let me say to you, they are. Many times they do not even understand what you're talking about. They begin to talk about something they had, experience that they had. Been dealing with a man for, I would say, probably close to more than like 7-8 years. Been dealing with this gentleman. He's a very ill person. He needs Christ. He's unsaved. I went up to the hospital to see him the last time. He had a real bad heart problem. I sat down with him, told him how to be saved. And he just kind of went off like, oh, I'm all right, preach. He always calls me preach. He said, I'm all right, preach. It's all right, I'm all right, preach. Well, he's not all right. He's just so deceived. But yet, I went to his place here just a while back, talked to him again, and I said, you called him a name, said, you need to be saved. He said, hey, preach, I'm all right. I tell you what, he said, I want you to know something. Now, you listen to this. I want you to know something. He said, when you came up to the hospital, you saved my life. I said, I saved your life? He said, yes, you did. He said, you come in and prayed for me? And he said, I want to tell you what. He said, after you left, and he said, I went to sleep, and I woke up in this wonderful room, and everything was just like satin and silk. Most beautiful place I'd ever seen. He said, you saved my life. I said, I didn't save your life. I said, don't you understand what old Satan's trying to do to you? He's trying to deceive you. He wants you to trust in that satin room or that silk room or all those beautiful things you saw. He wants you to trust in that instead of Jesus. I said, oh, Satan's a deceiver, folks. And he is. I've done everything I could to try to convince him. But he just, oh, preach, I'm all right. But he isn't all right. He's never accepted Christ as his Savior. And you see, and old Satan blinds people, you see. And so we find here in this portion of Scripture, no, none went out, none came in, none went out. He traps them within, and the only way, if we would read on down, in fact, maybe we ought to do that in verse number 22. But Joshua had said unto two men that had spied out the country, go unto the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. The only way that group got out was because of the power of God. The only way they could get out is because what they'd done was that she had hid the spies and God had promised that they would not be killed. So I'm just simply saying to you, the only way you get out of Satan's kingdom is through God's power. Getting your eyes open to the truth of the Word of God. So his kingdom traps those within. And let me say to you, his kingdom is a deceiving kingdom. You see, they didn't think anybody could get into that city. Oh, it was powerful. It was walled. I mean, who's going to come in through that city around in through that wall? Who's going to be able to do that? They was deceived into thinking they were secure. Now, the world out there right now is so deceived in thinking they're secure. I mean, they're all right. They've got food stored up. And I believe something. I believe this city, Jericho, had all kinds of food stored up inside it. They looked around and said, "These people can't hurt us. Look at them silly people out there marching around this city. They can't hurt us. We got all the food we need. We have all. We've stored up all the wealth that we need." Let me tell you what. Does that sound familiar? That's what this world is trusting in right now. They're trusting in their wealth. They're trusting in what they've got stored up. I mean, that's their security. That's what means something to them. And they think nothing can happen to them. But my friend, God can get to them. And so we find that it's a kingdom that's a deceiving kingdom. And they even, you know, look around and they see so many people that's on their side. I mean, you know, they've got a lot of friends that thinks the same way they do and go in the same direction they're doing. So surely they've got friends to stand with them. Everything is going to be all right. And they're blinded to their destiny and what's going to happen to them. So let me say to you, the kingdom of Satan is a deceiving kingdom. But let me also say to you that the necessity of the taking of Jericho was absolutely necessary. Let me tell you why. Because it was one of the strongest fortresses in the Canaan land. And it stood in their way. Let me say to you, the capture of Jericho was the key to the possession of the whole land. They wasn't going to get any farther till they took care of Jericho. And I might say something to you. You're going to have to take care of Jericho in your life before you can possess the whole land. I hope you understand I'm talking spiritually. I hope you understand I'm talking about Christian growth. Hope you understand, folks, those Jerichos are before every single one of us, and those Jerichos have to be dealt with. Because you can't get to the whole land until you went through Jericho and taken care of Jericho. Amen. It must be dealt with. You see, oh yes, there would be many battles after Jericho. And I mean many battles, all kinds of fights and all kinds of battles. They'd go in and they'd run out the inhabitants. But let me say to you that God saw to it that the only way that they could deal with that Jericho was by faith in Him. And what that done was begin to establish the way of victory. That's the way you're going to fight the battles on down through as you go and run out the inhabitants. It's going to have to be done in faith in God. Every battle you fight is going to have to be done by the power of God and trusting God Almighty to take care of those Jerichos and all those other battles. But God was going to establish something here. And He was going to establish them the fact that they was going to have to trust God to get Jericho captured and get it brought down and those walls brought down. They couldn't do it. And again, I say to you, we Christians must cross into Canaan land. If we're going to be what we need to be for God, I know that's not salvation. But I know also if you want to be a power for God in this world, you want to do something for God, you want to see souls saved, you want to have a ministry for God and allow God to use you, you're going to have to get over into the promised land. And sure enough, when you get over there, you're going to face some Jerichos of your life. And they're going to have to be dealt with. So first of all, it was an impossible task. They could not do it. But secondly, this impossible task could be handled by faith in God and could be accomplished. Look with me back in the book of Hebrews. I think it'd be good for you to look at that, but the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I just want to read I'm just going to read you one verse. We could read so much in this chapter about faith, but by faith, that's verse 27, by faith He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, folks, we've told you this before. I know you understand this truth, but you and I have got to get our eyes on Him who is invisible. You have got to look to the author and finisher of your faith. If you are going to fight those battles of the Christian life and you're going to get anywhere down the road in your victorious Christian life, you're going to have to trust in Him that alone can give you the victory. Seeing Him who is invisible. always understanding that God Almighty is there. You see, what they had to do is they had to put their faith into action by simply doing what God said to do. Boy, I'm sure it probably seems silly. Don't you think probably? To some degree, you suppose they would have been some Israelites that he's going to have us out there marching around that city. You know, I mean, I'm sure to some degree they couldn't understand what God was doing. You know, we're going out there and we're going to march around that city, you see. But, you know, they had to obey, and there was danger in that obey, and there was also ridicule in that obeying. And let me say to you, you're going to be ridiculed if you walk by faith. You're going to be ridiculed. But let me say something to you. All down through the Scripture, God expects us to react to that faith we have. You remember the blind man whom he put the mud up on his eye? Don't you think Jesus could have spoke and just simply said, it's healed? But what did he say? Go wash in the pool of Siloam. You see, God wants us to put that faith in action. You understand? I know that the actions and all these things don't bring salvation. I know all this. But God expects us to put our faith into action. We can talk all we want. You know, about even Peter, you know, maybe it sounds silly, but Jesus told him one day, you need a coin, go fishing. I mean, don't you think Jesus could have provided that coin? Sure he could. But he said, go fishing. Now, here he said, go march around that city. Do it once every day. Seventh day, do it seven times. I mean, if it was like we Christians, we'd have been standing around just scratching our head. I don't understand why God wants me out there marching around that city. You know why? Because God said to do it. That's all we need. God just simply said to do it. You know, go door-to-door visitation. Oh, Brother Ross, I just can't hardly do that. Go up, knock on a door, and tell somebody, you know, about Jesus Christ. Well, God said to do it. I mean, amen? Aren't we to go and preach the gospel to every creature? Right? So he told us to do that, didn't he not? So, you know, whether it sounds silly to us, or whether it may even be to the place where we'll get ridiculed for it, what does it matter when God says to do it? Once again, I can almost see those people up there on the top of that wall laughing and mocking at those Israelites. Can't you see that? Here they are inside that and getting up there and laughing, pointing at us. What are those nuts out there doing? Don't you know that's what the world's doing to you today? Don't you know they point at us and mock at us because we want to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ? But folks, that should not stop us. Amen. Amen. Sure, you're going to be ridiculed. Sure, you're going to be mocked. What does that matter? We're talking about eternity. We're talking about getting people saved. Amen. So I'm simply saying, you know, there's a lot of things God tells us to do, you know, just because he says to do it. You know, people will look around at us on Sunday night and say, what's those silly nuts out there doing on Sunday night? Boy, when they could be doing other things. Why are they wasting their time going to church? Isn't that silly? On a beautiful day like this, they could have went to the beach. They don't understand us. But you see, we understand us. We know we're to be in the house of God because God said to. Amen. So we don't have any problem with that. We know it's right because God said to do it. But the world mocks at us and laughs at us and makes fun of us. But so what? Does it really matter? No, of course not. You can imagine some of these people around here. You imagine they took a week off work last week to go to camp? Took our teenagers to camp and they took a week off work? Can you imagine that? How silly of them to do without a paycheck. It's not silly. You understand what I'm saying? But the world looks at it and say, why would you take a week off of your work and do without a paycheck and go to camp? Or take just a week of your vacation and go to camp? Why would you do such a thing? Because God wanted them to. Why do Sunday school teachers spend their time when other people are out doing what they want? Instead, they're spending their time in studying their lesson. Better be anyway. Amen? Why? You every week you spend time studying your lesson and visiting your students. Why do you do that when other people are not doing that? Why do you? Because God wants you to. Why does these bus workers around here go out on Saturday? Take their Saturdays. I was over at Bobby's on a Saturday morning. Here come Randy Beller, one of our bus workers, up there at the door and telling Bobby's kids about being in church on Sunday and he's going to do this and that, you know. And I seen Randy get back out and get in his car, and I thought, you know, time off to work in Bible school this year? Did you know we had people who switched shifts so they can work in Bible school? We had over 50 volunteers worked in Bible school because they simply just said, we're going to do it. And the result of that was we had a high day of 307 in Bible school and 38 over the week saved. Was it worth it? Oh, I believe it was. I'm simply saying to you folks, you don't do something because it seems logical to do. You simply do it because the Word of God tells you to do it. Amen? And so no matter what it is, no matter what ministry it is, you always must remember the Word of God says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. The world is not going to understand us who take the Word of God and preach the Word of God and go from door to door and tell people about Jesus Christ. They're just not going to understand us. Don't expect them to understand us. Just do it because God said to do it. You see, the Bible says God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. It may be silly to this old world, but I want to tell you exactly what God wants done. He wants people telling other people about Jesus Christ, amen, and doing the ministry and the work of God so we can get people saved. That's what he's told us to do. That's what we must do, amen. So another thing we must notice in this is that faith must be patient. You know, they got up that one morning and they started marching around this city. And as far as I know, nothing happened. Nothing. Unless they was ridiculed, made fun of, but nothing happened. The wall didn't start tumbling. They got up the second day and started marching around that city. And nothing still happened. Now, folks, it takes patience in the work of God. Do what God said to do and just keep on doing it, no matter whether you see anything happening or not. For 6 days, they marched around that city. On the seventh day, 6 times they marched around again and nothing happened. But on the seventh, I want to tell you the walls come tumbling down. What I'm saying to you is this, faith takes patience. Just be patient. You say, Brother Ross, I've witnessed or witnessed, I haven't seen anybody saved. Just keep witnessing. You're not the controller of that. You just keep witnessing. You keep telling people about Jesus Christ, no matter what happens, no whether you see any evidences or not. Bus workers, you just keep visiting, no matter whether you see any evidence or not. You keep doing it. Sunday school teachers, just keep teaching. Whether you see the evidence of it or not, just keep teaching. Preacher, just keep preaching. Amen. Preacher told me the other day, I was in the hospital there and met a couple of the preachers I hadn't seen for a long time, and he said, I've come to the decision, God just wants me to preach, no matter what anybody hears me or not, or anybody minds me, he just wants me to preach. And to some degree, that's true. You just preach. You don't go by how people respond to it. You just preach. You just keep doing it. You do it week after week after week after week after week, and just keep doing it. That's why, because God tells you to. Amen. So faith must be patient, knowing that only God can do what must be done. That wall could not come down except God shake it and bring it down. Now let me say also this. Success is absolutely certain. There is no doubt about it. If God be obeyed, listen to what he says in verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. I want you to notice in that he didn't say, I will give to you. He said, I've already given it. It's as surely done as if it's already accomplished. And I'm just saying to you, if we will obey God and do what he says to do, success is absolutely settled and it's for sure. I'm not talking about our kind of success. I'm talking about God's success. And there's a big difference. If God has given us a task to do, do it. No matter what, just do it. And let me say this also. Be careful about picking up somebody else's task that they have given them. God has a task for you. And sometimes we try to interchange. We try to want to do what somebody else is supposed to do. I'm simply saying, do you know what God wants you to do and do it? What has God prepared you for? Then just simply do it. In other words, keep to that which He's assigned you. Listen very carefully. Did you notice that the priests were assigned to carry the ark? And did you notice the priests also were to blow the trumpet? Now, the ones carrying the ark was not to blow the trumpet, and the ones blowing the trumpet was not to carry the ark. They had that which God assigned them to do. Did you know the armed men, the Bible said the armed men went out in front? He didn't say the priest was to arm themselves and go out in front. He said the armed men is to do that. He didn't say for the armed men to come back and grab the trumpets or carry the ark. He said, no, that's for the armed men. He's got certain things that He wants you and I to do, assigned to our task to us, and He wants us to do it and be faithful about doing it. He told the people, you just march and keep your mouth shut until I tell you. That's what He said. He said, don't shout, don't say anything until I tell you. But you just march. And not only that, of course, He told them, when I tell you, you shout. Now, he didn't tell the people who was just marching to go and grab the ark and carry it. That was the priest's job. He didn't say those who was following along, the reward, that means those who's coming in behind. He didn't say you're to go up and get the arms and be the armed man. No, He didn't. He said, you just follow, and you walk, and when I tell you, you shout. God had it all planned, and when it went according to God's plan, the wall came down. You see, if we'll just follow God's plan, whatever it is, we'll just follow God's plan, it'll work. We just need to be busy about just knowing the plan of God and doing it. Now, God has a place and a purpose in every person's life in this room. And as a preacher, I don't always know what it is, but let me tell you, I know He's got for you a purpose and a reason for being in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You just need to get into your assigned position, place where God wants you, and just do it. If God wants to change that position, He'll let you know. He'll tell us. He'll work through this old preacher to help you. Amen? But God has a place for you to be serving God. Don't tell me that God wants you to sit on the pew and do nothing whatsoever. It's not according to the Word of God. Never. There may be times of that He gives you rest and all those kind of things, but He doesn't want you to be a do-nothing. There is something He wants you to do as a part of the work of God. Amen. Do you believe that? Well, I believe he's got a plan. If not, why don't He just take us home? I mean, God ain't got anything more for me to do. Kill me. I'm not being smart. I mean that. If He ain't got anything more for me to do, what's the purpose of me living? Just go on home. Just take me home. When He gets done with me, that's what He'll do. Amen? So what I'm simply saying is this. Just finish the job. Don't stop with 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, or six times on the seventh day. Finish the job. Seventh day, seven is completion. And what He's saying is just finish it out. He's saying to you and me, just finish it out. Finish out your life. Just keep on. Just keep on for God no matter what. Just keep on. Amen? So I say to you, why do you know success is certain, Brother Ross? Verse number 2 said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thy hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor simply because God promised it. That's how I know it's certain. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, shout! Why do you want them to shout? Well, for the Lord hath given you the city. Success was absolutely assured. And again, remember, I'm talking about God's success, not man's success. We get those all mixed up. What's successful in the Christian life today? Let me tell you what's successful. Get in the will of God and stick there. Stay there. Whatever that is, just stay there. Amen? You may not be successful according to this world or even sometimes according to other Christians, but you're successful if you're in the will of God for your life. Amen? So let's just remember, faith. We trusted God. They marched around that city because God said to do it. Amen? And because of it, they had success. Let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your grace and your wonderful mercy and your kindness to us, and thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I ask you to help us tonight to be what we should be for you. And Father, just keep on keeping on, no matter what happens, until that day when you decide to take us on home. Now, Lord, we give ourselves to you again today. We ask you, Lord, to take this invitation, do with it as you see fit. Deal with hearts and lives today, and Lord, that your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.